We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Before I start, I need to let you know that today you are preaching. You can hear my voice is going. So you go to preach. So respecting and observing all protocols, make sure you are seated in such a way you can turn to the person closer to you and speak to them, preach to them when I ask you to preach to them. Don't preach your message, though. I have one message that you preach. So you wait until I tell you to preach to them. Amen. Are we okay with that? If you are online, make sure you are sitting with somebody. If you don't have somebody, call your cat or, and preach to them. If there's no, look for your teddy bear and preach to them. Amen. So last Sunday, Mr. Mayala armed us with some ammunition on how we can fight the Goliath that we are facing in this season. He reminded us that it doesn't matter the little strength you might have. What you need to do, all you need to do is to understand your battle. And when you understand the battle, you take ownership of it. And when you take ownership of that battle, you begin to connect with the divine strategy and you win your battle. And this morning, I'm going to tell a story. And the story is going to be based on the book of Esther. And for those that write notes, the title of the story is Beyond the Open Doors. Beyond the Open Doors. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that it is good that it is not me that is speaking, but it is you, Holy Spirit. You're only using my lips as your mouthpiece. And so, with or without a voice, you are still going to speak. So I surrender myself to you and say, Holy Spirit, take over. Do whatever you want to do this morning. Manifest yourself in a mighty way. Minister to us in a personal way. And let that which you want to be communicated this morning. We surrender ourselves to you and we open our hearts to you and we say, Father, may you speak as your servants are listening. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So once upon a time, thank you, Michael. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate. Once upon a time, a story is told about a young immigrant Jewish girl who was an orphan and was therefore adopted by an uncle and raised by that uncle in a foreign land. In this foreign land, it was ruled by a very proud and powerful king. And when I'm talking about proud, I'm talking about being proud. He was so proud that even in his third term of his reign in the palace, he decided to throw a party, an ending party. And after having that party, he then had another party, a 7-day slumber party. Young people say slumber party. You are not allowed to have slumber parties. 7-day slumber party for his people. And because of his pride, on the last day of this lovely party, where he was now attending to his senior officials and his wife, the queen, was also attending to the other officials in the other side of the palace. He then decided to ask his wife to come and join him with the hope of wanting to show off the beauty of his wife. That's how proud he was. Unfortunately, on this day, the queen was not in the right mood. She was not for the place of being displayed on that day. So she refused to join the king. The king, being so proud, he was so annoyed. He was so annoyed to the extent that he didn't want to see this queen anymore. So determined to make sure that women throughout the empire who do not follow the example of this queen And with the consultation that took place with his senior officials, he decided to banish the queen. Jaden, I think we're on the first slide. He decided to banish the queen. And the queen's conduct in that sense, it really ignited a political crisis in the empire. But that political crisis had other advantages because it created an open door for immigrant girls like this young Jewish girl who were to be presented before the king in search of a replacement for the banished queen. And so all the beautiful girls in the empire were invited to put their names. If you tick the boxes, you were presented to, you were invited to come and take part in this beauty contest. So it was going to go through for a 1 year, going through the preparation to just be presented before the queen, the king. You had to go through 1 year of preparation. So after going through 1 year of preparation in the king's palace, and still this young girl who was part of the girls that were invited, she decided with the advice of her uncle not to disclose her identity. So she didn't tell who she was. She just told them, "I'm Esther." So within that 1 year, she won the favor of the man, the eunuch, who was in charge of this, all these contestants, to the point that she was even given the best place of the house, of the king's house, where she could stay. She won favor with the eunuch. As if that was not enough, on her first night that she was spending with the king, she also won the king's favor. The king liked him. He fell in love with him, with her, that he decided to crown her the queen of the empire instead of Vashti. This lovely orphaned Jewish girl woke up with a crown on her head, and the king gave a very big feast in honor of her and even proclaimed a Bengal holiday throughout the empire to just recognize her accession to the throne. She found favor. But little did this girl know that the favor was not just the favor. Little did she know that there was a mission attached to the favor. So, knowing what has happened to Queen Vashti, every girl that went to that beauty contest, including Queen Esther, the now crowned Queen Esther, they knew that they had not really a real sovereign in their own right. Just reflecting on what had happened to Vashti, I would like to believe that she knew that she had little power in the sight of King Xerxes, who was the king. But remember, God had said to her, "I know you have little strength, but I'm setting you up anyhow." Now I want you to start preaching to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, there is a purpose attached to the setup. Amen. If you find the person you're preaching to, they are not very enthusiastic, turn to the other one next time. So while all the officials that were taking part in replacing this banished queen were so excited and happy that now things are moving, the empire is at peace, the king is happy with his beautiful young wife, we can at least relax and attend to our families. Little did they know that there was something brewing behind the scenes. One of the king's senior advisors was plotting against the queen people, the Jewish people. This senior advisor was an Amalekite. And Amalekites were enemies of Jews. They had a long history of hatred for the Jews. So he had his own hatred for the Jews. If I can describe this senior advisor to the king, he was a power-hungry man. He was greedy. He was proud. He was too much of himself. And above all, he was also boastful and lacked self-control. And a mix of that is very dangerous. He wanted to be felt wherever he was. So if Yui was passing by and you were sitting, you needed to stand up. He didn't have to tell you. In honor of him, you stand up. Because the king had promoted him to be the second highest man in the empire. So he wanted to be felt. So one day, as he was passing through the palace gates, Mordecai the Jew refused to bow before him in honor of him. He refused. He refused to pay him homage and bow before him. And he was angry. He was furious. And his evil mind started fabricating a plan, an evil plan. His antagonism against Mordecai was so great that just the death of his own enemy, Mordecai, or the one who had breached the protocol, Mordecai, was not enough. He decided to wipe out Mordecai's people, the Jews. He decided to wipe out the Jews. So, but it was not easy to do that. It was not easy to do that. He needed somebody to support him. Go to slide 3, Jaden. Slide number 3. He knew that he had no power to just wipe up the Jews on his own. So he deceived the king and asked him to issue an edict that would result in the genocide of the Jewish people. Little also did he know that he was sowing seeds that would birth the mission of Queen Esther in the palace. Let me ask you a question. Let me just move away from Esther a little bit. What is it during this season of Open Doors? What is it the enemy is plotting against you, where you are, that the Lord has set you up to deal with? What is it that the enemy is plotting against you, wherever you are, that God has set you up there to deal with? Remind your other neighbor that there is a mission attached to your setup. Please remain alert. Amen. The Jewish people got to know about this edict, and the whole community was devastated. They were fearful. They were in mourning when they heard that the edict has been issued. And as for Mordecai, the queen's uncle, he tore his clothes, clothed himself in sackcloth and ashes, and went around the whole city wailing until he got to the palace gate, where he could not go any further because you're not allowed to go into the palace gate wearing sackcloth. Go to the next slide, Jaden. When Esther heard about the uncle wearing a sackcloth and sitting at the city gate, he sent somebody with some clothes for the uncle to wear, but the uncle refused. So he then decided there must be something. I need to send someone to find out somebody I can trust, somebody he can confide in. So she sent one of her messengers to go and speak to the uncle. And the uncle explained the plot that Haman, this king's senior advisor, had plotted against them. But there was something else the uncle asked Queen Esther to do. He asked her to go to the king and plead for mercy for the Jewish people. That's when reality finally confronted Queen Esther, as she realized that there was a mission attached to the crown. Tell your neighbor, I told you there is a purpose attached to your open door. But how did Queen Esther respond in that desperate moment? Did she get it straight away? Did she believe it? Did it really, really sink into her that yes, there is a purpose, I got to do something? How would you have responded? Let me remind you that this is happening at a time when Queen Esther is just getting to settle down as queen. She's just beginning to enjoy her new status. She's just beginning to come into terms with being saved and saving, having people running around her, sitting secluded in the palace, seeing no problems, seeing no disruption, unaware of the threat that was hanging over her people, perhaps herself as well. She was getting comfortable in her place of manifold grace. So in response to the request, Queen Esther informed her uncle, Mordecai. She was a bit confused what was going on with uncle, because uncle knew the protocol in the palace. He was sitting at the city gate. He knew what happens. So she said, I'll remind uncle. So she says, go tell uncle that it is common sense, uncle. I don't need to prophesy this to you. It's common sense that if you ever approach the king without an invitation, there is no other way but death. And so, uncle, I don't get it. You know what? On top of that, uncle, I actually, as much as I live in the palace, I haven't seen the king for a month. So I don't have access to him. So I'm just wondering, uncle, why would you want to set me up for death? You want me to go and plead for who? For the other people of my life, because I will die. So the girl was a bit confused that, I don't know why uncle is forgetting that there's a protocol, suggesting that in her response, it was clear that she was not able to do anything about the situation. She, as the queen of Persia, was powerless. Church, I want you to notice something. How we are so quick to forget the grace that overruled the same protocol and brought you into the palace is still at work around you. How we are so quick to forget that God never leaves you nor forsakes you. He doesn't place you in a position and leaves you alone. And he is unchangeable. He is unshakable. He is unstoppable. And he's still at work around you. Friends, do not try to engage something that is started in the spiritual, in the flesh. Do not try to engage the flesh, start rationalizing about the protocol on something that started in the spirit. We need to understand that the natural protocol we are afraid of is not as powerful as the spiritual protocol that brought us into the open door and gave us a position in the palace. The spiritual protocol overrules the natural protocol. So Queen Esther, with that in mind, she was unable to see beyond her own experiences. She was unable to see the protocol that she had just read as she became part of the king's palace. She was unable to connect with the real reason for having been crowned the Queen of Persia among all the other beautiful contestants who attended the National Beauty Contest. She wasn't connecting with that. She had no strength of character to fight for what she believes in, or even have an opinion about it, or even to save the men who adopted her and raised her. She had no strength. So her initial response to Uncle Mordecai's request for help was, "Not this time, Uncle. I'm not able to do it. Maybe next time, when I get more familiar with the king." Has SCC already forgotten? Did I say SCC? No. Has Esther already forgotten that God said to her, "I know you have little strength, but I'm opening the door before you anyhow, because I am your strength, strength like no other, strength from above. And you know what? You can do all things through me who strengthens you." Philippians 4 verse 13. So what had gone wrong with Queen Esther? Why is it she didn't see the cause right at the beginning? Why didn't it click to her that I must do something? At least I am an insider for now. Had she bought into the idea that her purpose was really to be just a lovely first beautifying the palace? Was she thinking that the opportunity was for her own benefit alone? Or was she just getting comfortable in the palace and simply enjoying the life of a queen? Was she enjoying the new car that the king had just ordered for her? Was she enjoying the new house that her husband had just given her? Was she enjoying the servants, the title, the position, the package, the benefits? Was she enjoying the customers, the marriage, the family, the profits, the children, the holidays? What was happening? Because she could afford all that. Whatever is captivating our hearts in this season, let's not get too excited about our open doors such that we forget that there is a purpose attached to the doors. There is a purpose. Or could it be that we are fitting into the world around us, that where our beauty, our popularity, our compliance define our existence and our purpose? Could we be fitting into that? Far be it from us, church. Far be it from us. Because for as long as we decide or we choose to remain silent when we are supposed to speak, or we decide not to engage with what is happening around us, the potential that lies deep within us to advance the kingdom of God remain dormant. That potential will remain dormant. Tell your neighbor, I told you, preach to them. Tell your neighbor, there is a purpose attached to your open door. So you cannot be silent. Take action. Amen. So when Esther's response was reported to Mordecai, Mordecai, the uncle of the queen, realized something is definitely not in the right place in the head of this young girl. She's blending too much to the life of the palace that she's forgetting who she is. She is getting mixed up about her identity. So he decided to get things straight with the naive queen by reminding her that she should not forget that she was a Jew herself. And her life was at stake just like any other Jew around the Empire of Persia. We are on the next slide, Jaden. He decided to remind the young girl. Let me quote his words. He said, "Do not think that because you're in the king's palace, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will come from somewhere. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows? Maybe that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. Who knows why they employed you when all companies are closing? Who knows why they opened that door for promotion when everybody else is being demoted? Who knows why they increased your hours when they are reducing other people's hours? Who knows why your company is actually expanding when others are closing down? Who knows? Who knows why you could afford to buy a house when others are selling? Who knows?" Friends, Esther was faced with a moment of making a decision. She had a choice to make. The choice of continuing to enjoy, you know, hiding her real identity and enjoy the life of a queen in the palace, living in splendor and luxury, versus the choice of finding a way around the king slow to save her people and risk her life. She had a choice to make. And the power was in her hands. Because, you know, choices determine our destinies. Choices shape our destinies. So whatever choice you make, it will shape your destiny. And she knew. Because whatever choice she was going to make, it was going to shape her destiny. What choice would you have made if you were in her shoes? What choice would you have made? My friends, the answer to this lies in the secret of knowing why access was granted in the first place. Why crowned in the first place? Because in the kingdom of God, there are no chances. Because God does not experiment with your life. Whatever happens to you is predetermined and it's written in the palm of his hands. So there is a purpose. There is a purpose. So the answer to that lies with that understanding of why was access granted to me. And then you make the right decision on that basis. Access can be granted. Doors can be opened. But you decide what you do with the opportunity that is before you. You decide who to represent in your company. You decide whose values to carry in your family. So wherever you are and whatever you are facing, let's take heed of Mordecai's words. Let's take heed. Who knows? But that you have come to that position of for such a time as this. There is a purpose attached to your open door. And the sovereign God has his hand upon you. And he knows what you are capable of doing. So Uncle Mordecai's reminder to the queen was a wake-up call. For the queen. It was a wake-up call that provoked a new level of courage within her. She rose to the challenge and sent the instructions to her uncle. A different turning around of things. She said, I will quote her, "Go gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. I and my maids will fast as well. Do not drink day or night for 3 days. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. she decided to take a board stand. When Uncle Mordecai realized the girl now got it, he went away and followed her instructions. Esther came to understand the secret. Is Esther came to understand that her status was not a privilege. Her status was not a privilege to be enjoyed, but a high responsibility to be used to save others. When God promotes you, he's not promoting you so you can boast. When God blesses you, he's not blessing you so that you can show off. He's blessing you so you can bless others. So her people were in danger and she was in a position to help them. So their problem became a problem and she acted. Where has God brought you and me in this life? What kind of a door has he opened for us? Whatever God is putting in your life to do in this season, it's never without meaning. It's never without significance. God has brought you to the present position and place in your life for his own purposes. So we need to take courage. If you are fearful of the uncertain outcomes of your moves, you need to take courage in the Lord. Last week, Mr. Mayala reminded us that courage is not the absence of fear. It is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing what is right, even when you are afraid. Courage is the ability to take a risk. Courage means that you refuse to take counsel from your fear and decide to make the great life-risking decision, echoing the bold words of Esther, "If I perish, I perish," in order to fulfill God's purpose that are attached to the door that is open for you. So she, take note of something. This young lady, this queen said, let's take 3 days of fasting. No talking, no consultation, no, let's take no going behind, no thinking, who can we talk to? Who is closer to the, let's take 3 days of fasting, no eating. No drinking. Let's fast. She's began to engage a divine strategy right there. She began to engage a divine strategy. Fulfilling God's purposes in this season requires us to think strategically. It requires us to think strategically. Esther did. So she prepared herself carefully, dressing in royal robes, so she could look presentable before the king. You know, you just don't go to the king as if, you know, you are just going to see Lydia. You know, there's a difference. So this girl knew how to present herself to the king. So, and not only that, she stood in the inner court of the palace outside the doorway to the throne room where King Xerxes could see her. She was positioned in a place where she can be noticed by the king. She was looking so good that the king stretched out the golden scepter the moment he noticed her, which was a sign of welcome, an invitation to the presence of the king in those days. And Esther didn't take time. She responded by touching the tip of the golden scepter and responded and accepted the invitation, because she was positioned in the right place to see the king stretching the golden scepter. Where are you standing in this season? How are you positioning yourself to attract the attention of the King of Kings? Where are you? She went straight to a place where the king cannot miss her, because it's in front of the throne where he sits, facing that direction. Where are we positioned? A posture of prayer is the best stand to take while seeking audience with the King of Kings. So when the king asked Queen Esther what she wanted, instead of blurting out the bad news about the evil plots against her people, you know, if I was Esther, I was reflecting on this and I say, Esther, you fasted for 3 days.
right? You didn't eat for 3 days. You didn't drink. Maybe even that moment you haven't eaten anything. And then the king presents you with an open check, asking you what you want. Even half of the kingdom will be given unto you. And then you decide to invite the king to an only by invite dinner for three with his senior advisor, Haman. I salute Esther. Because when I come into the presence and just sense that the Holy Spirit says, speak it now, I blurt it out. I don't take chances. I just say everything with my emotions. But not for this young queen. She decided, and you know what? She played this milk card twice. Not only once. She played this milk card twice. So she could spend time with the king before bringing her petition to him. It's called waiting for the right moment. In life, you need to learn to wait for the right moment. This strategic move, what we need to understand is this strategic move that creates the right atmosphere to discuss destiny-defining issues was a result of prayer and fasting. She had prayed. Somehow Esther, deep down in her heart, knew that the first dinner with the king was not the right moment. Somehow, she was so sensitive to understand that it wasn't the right moment. Yes, the king is asking me whatever I want, but it's not the right moment. And this was confirmed that it was not the right moment. It was confirmed by the events that took place between the first dinner and the second dinner, which were clearly orchestrated by God that needed to happen to set the scene for presenting the petition to the king by Queen Esther. My friends, fulfilling the purpose attached to the open doors before us is a partnership with God. So we need to continue to be sensitive and seek his leadership and guidance. So, what happened between the first dinner and the second dinner is that the king needed to be reminded about what Mordecai had done earlier to save his life. The king needed to be reminded of Mordecai's loyalty. The very same Jew that Haman wanted to destroy with his own people. The king needed to be reminded about his loyalty and willingness to save the king's life before Esther talked about her petition and plead for her life and the life of her people. Sometimes you need to remind God your story with him. When she finally presented the petition, the stage was set and the petition was granted. The edict was reversed and the tables were turned. The Jews had an upper hand over their enemies. Esther fulfilled the mission that was attached to her crown in the palace. She did it. Fearful at the beginning, but when she got the sense of who she was, that she was a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, that she was sent in that sphere of influence as an agent of transformation, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, as a true witness of the truth from above, she decided that if I perish, I perish. But for this reason, I am here. For such a time as this, I've been positioned in this place. My friends, despite the glamour, the blessing, the privilege, the benefits that we find inside the open doors, may we dare not forget that there is still a mission to be accomplished. May we not dare forget that there is the purpose attached to those open doors, advancing the kingdom of God. Let me conclude my story. And as I conclude, I want to leave you with some reflection questions. Where do you find yourself today? Where do you find yourself today? To what small kingdom Has the Lord brought you for such a time as this? Where is your Empire of Persia? Where is your Susa that God has brought you for such a time as this? Have you identified the purpose attached to your open door? Have you discovered the purpose attached to your open door? You might be facing a seemingly powerful senior advisor of the king, like Hamani, who almost won but didn't. Or you might be even facing a very much more powerful than Hamani, King Xerxes, but still, he did not destroy the people of God. It was the powerless Queen Esther, with little strength, the one with the little strength, who succeeded in completing God's mission and saved his people. Maybe you are facing very challenging issues and the Lord seems too heavy to continue carrying. I just want to encourage you that maybe this might be the very reasons God put you where you are and made you face the issues you are facing right now, not someone else. Despite your little strength, perhaps he has put you where you are because he knows you can be trusted to see his purpose attached to that door fulfilled with integrity and honor. My encouragement to you is that acknowledge wherever you are, whatever you are facing, whatever door is open for you, acknowledge the sovereignty and providence of God in your life. See him in places where you can't see him. He is working behind the scenes, positioning you for his purposes. We might be of little strength, but there is a mission to be accomplished. We might be few, but there is a mission to be accomplished. He is aware of our little strength. He is aware of our faithfulness. He is aware of our confidence. And remember, the one who set the door, the one who said at the beginning, "See, I have set a door before you." That very one person who said that is our strength. He is with us. And my prayer this morning is that we will all fulfill the mission attached to the open doors set before us in this season. That every one of us who come out with a fulfilled purpose for the sake of the kingdom of God. So I encourage you, get hold of that which God placed you in the palace for. Get hold of that God, of that which God positioned you for such a time as this. Get hold of it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. We thank you that you are the one who set open doors before us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you know us more than we know ourselves. You know each and every one of us more than we know ourselves. You know the weight, the depth, the height, the length of our issues, of our challenges, more than we understand them and know them. You know what we are capable of doing. You know the loads we are capable of carrying. And you know what we can achieve. Lord, we thank you that the good thing in the midst of all that, your goodness is always with us. It follows us. You never leave us nor forsake us. So this morning, Father, I pray that may we make the choice that we will fulfill the purpose attached to the doors that you have set before us. May we make the decision that we will not shy away, we will not run away, we will not let the people perish, but we will choose to risk our own lives and declare that if I perish, I perish, for the sake of advancing the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that we'll be reminded that we are your ambassadors, we are your mouthpiece, we are your feet in the societies and communities have set us up, Lord, that we are your voice. And so, Lord, may we speak when we need to speak. May we encourage when we need to encourage. Help us, Lord Jesus, that we will not be silent to share the salvation story, our own story, that we sing, that it is our story. May we not forget to share that with those that are around us who do not know you. May we allow the door of salvation be opened in our society, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, as we speak about you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. I pray that even this morning, if there's whosoever who does not know you and who's trying to come back to you, who is trying to reconnect with you, Father, may they find the door of salvation open this morning. And may they find their purpose in that door, in the name of Jesus. We bless your name and we honor you. We thank you that, Father, you know our strength and you are our strength and you remain our strength. So we hold on to you. And we choose to stand, understanding that, Lord, you have placed us for such a time as this, in this city, in this nation. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.